Welcome back, everybody. It's Chip and Eric and friends reading through the Bible, and one of our friends is Allison, but today our friend is Josh. That's the name of the podcast. Yeah, it's a good podcast. Just getting started. This is the first episode under that title. So
that's a long
the
name.
New working title. Yeah. It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
It's like really hip.
It might not fit on the shirt.
Or the trophy.
Or the trophy, yeah.
Next year's trophy.
Yeah, might not fit.
That's okay. Hey, Josh Pugh here. Very excited. Thanks for coming back and reading again, Josh. And,
yeah, thanks for having me.
Allison and I have been praying about your itch, and that's clearing up is what I hear, so that's good.
It is, yeah.
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 I'm not letting this itch thing go. Allison really wants me to be done with it, and I'm just not letting it go.
Yeah. I could sense that last night.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to be done with it, though. That's what it is.
It's
the itch that can't be cured.
Correct.
So it's not just going to go away.
It doesn't just disappear.
Yeah, exactly. Not joking, I didn't mention anything about you today at all. And Micah ate an entire quarter pound chili cheese coney tonight. Yeah. And I look over at him and he goes, Josh Pugh. I'm like, okay. All right.
He knows I like chili cheese.
I guess he does. I guess he does. Hey, today is day. Oh, sorry. Speaking of chili cheese conies, today is day 84. We're going to be reading Joshua, go figure, 14 and 15. Tons of like big names of towns in here. Josh is very excited about
I'm
that.
Excited.
And then 1 Peter 5, which is kind of a neat passage to read with you, Josh, because we're both elders in different churches, and I think that's kind of cool. So we get a cool little perspective on that.
That is, yeah.
Okay, Joshua chapter 14, the land divided west of the Jordan. The remaining tribes of Israel received land in Canaan as allotted by Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the tribal leaders. These 9.5 tribes received their grants of land by means of sacred lots, in accordance with the Lord's command through Moses. Moses had already given a grant of land to the 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River, but he had given the Levites no such allotment. The descendants of Joseph had become two separate tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and the Levites were given no land at all, only towns to live in, with surrounding pasturelands, for their livestock and all their possessions. So the land was distributed in strict accordance with the Lord's commands to Moses.
Caleb requests his land. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God.' Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, for all these 45 years since Moses made that promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." So Joseph blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war.
The land given to the tribe of Judah. The allotment for the clans of the tribe of Judah reached southward to the border of Edom, as far south as the wilderness of Zin. The southern boundary began at the south bay of the Dead Sea, ran south of Scorpion Pass into the wilderness of Zin, and then went south to Kadesh Barnea to Hezron. Then it went up to Adar, where it turned toward Karka. From there, it passed to Asmon until it finally reached the Brook of Egypt, which it followed to the Mediterranean Sea. This was their southern boundary. The eastern boundary extended along the Dead Sea to the mouth of the Jordan River. The northern boundary began at the bay where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. It went up from there to Beth Hogla, and then proceeded north of Beth Araba to the Stone of Bohan, Bohan was Reuben's son. From that point, it went through the valley of Achor to Debir, turning north toward Gilgal, which is across from the slopes of Adumim on the south side of the valley. From there, the boundary extended to the springs of En Shemesh and on to En Rogel. The boundary then passed through the valley of Ben Hinnom along the southern slopes of the Jebusites, where the city of Jerusalem is located. Then it went west to the top of the mountain above the valley of Hinnom and on up to the northern end of the valley of Rephaim. From there, the boundary extended from the top of the mountain to the spring at the waters of Nephtoah, and from there to the towns on Mount Ephron. Then it turned toward Bala, that is Kiriath Jearim. The boundary circled west of Bala to Mount Seir, passed along the town of Kesalon on the northern slope of Mount Jearim, and went down to Beth Shemesh and on to Timnah. The boundary then proceeded to the slope of the hill north of Ekron, where it turned toward Shikaron and Mount Bela. It passed Jabneel and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. The western boundary was the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea. These are the boundaries for the clans of the tribe of Judah.
The land given to Caleb. The Lord commanded Joshua to assign some of Judah's territory to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. So Caleb was given the town of Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, which had been named after Anak's ancestor. Caleb drove out the three groups of Anakites, the descendants of Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the sons of Anak. From there, he went to fight against the people living in the town of Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Caleb said, "I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the one who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, the son of Caleb's brother Kenaz, was the one who conquered it, so Aksa became Othniel's wife. When Aksa married Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. As she got down off her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "Give me another gift. You have already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs.
The towns allotted to Judah. This was the homeland allocated to the clans of the tribe of Judah. The towns of Judah, situated along the borders of Edom in the extreme south, were Kabzeel, Eder, Jagur, Kena, Dimona, Adada, Kadesh, Hazor, Ithnan, Ziph, Telaim, Baaloth, Hazor Hadata, Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Amam, Shema, Molada, Hazar Gada, Heshmon, Beth Pelet, Hazar Shual, Beersheba, Biziothia, Bala, Im, Ezim, Eltolad, Kasil, Horma, Ziklag, Madmana, Sansana, Leboeth, Shilhim, Ain, Rimmon, 29 towns with their surrounding villages. The following towns, situated in the western foothills, were also given to Judah: Eshtaol, Zora, Ashna, Zenoa, En Ganim, Tapua, Enam, Jarmuth, Ajalam, Soka, Azika, Sharaim, Adithaim, Gedera, and Gederothaim, 14 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were Zenon, Hadasha, Migdal Gad, Dilion, Mizpah, Jokthiel, Lachish, Bozkath, Eglon, Kabon, Lamam, Kitlish, Gederoth, Beth Dagon, Nama, and Makeda, 16 towns and their surrounding villages. Beside these, there were Libna, Ether, Ashan, Iphtha, Ashna, Nezib, Kelia, Akzib, in Marisha, 9 towns with their surrounding villages. I'll let you take over from there, Josh.
All right. The territory of the tribe of Judah also included Ekron and its surrounding settlements and villages. From Ekron, the boundary extended west and included the towns near Ashdod with their surrounding villages. It also included Ashdod with its surrounding settlements and villages, and Gaza with its settlements and villages, as far as the Brook of Egypt and along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Judah also received the following towns in the hill country: Shamir, Jatir, Soka, Dana, Kiriath Sana, that is Debir, Anab, Eshtema, Anim, Goshen, Holon, and Gilo, 11 towns with their surrounding villages. Also included were the towns of Arab, Duma, Ishan, Janim, Beth Tapua, Aphekah, Hamta, Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, nine towns with their surrounding villages. Besides these, there were Maon, Carmel, Ziph, Juta, Jezreel, Jokdaim, Sanoa, Cain, Gibeah, and Timnah, 10 towns with their surrounding villages. In addition, there were Halhul, Beth-Zur, Gedor, Marath, Beth-Anoth, and Eltekon, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. There was also Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 towns with their surrounding villages. In the wilderness, there were the towns of Beth Araba, Medin, Sekaka, Nibshan, the city of salt, and En Gedi, 6 towns with their surrounding villages. But the tribe of Judah could not drive out the Jebusites, who lived in the city of Jerusalem. So the Jebusites live there among the people of Judah to this day.
Woo! That was some reading. Okay, off to 1 Peter chapter 5. Advice for elders and young men. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and I too will share in his glory when he's revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you'll get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. I'll let you take over.
Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Peter's final greetings. I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. Your sister church here in Babylon sends your greetings, and also does my son Mark. Greet each other with a kiss of love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ.
And that is our reading today. Oh, and that was our reading today. Man.
There was a lot of towns in there.
Oh, I get why this was super important to them.
Yes.
But man, that is rough to read.
It is.
Yeah. But we read it, and we read it with two questions in mind, Josh. You may not know this.
I remember.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How does this help you love God more? How does this help you love others more? So the question is to you, sir.
I'm going to go with, how does this help me love others more?
Okay.
So I had 1 Peter 5:9, where it says, remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you often see people and don't know what they're going through and what difficulties they have. And we need to love them through that, you know.
Yeah.
Regardless. None of us are infallible. And we need to support each other and love each other through whatever it is we're suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you only see the surface, right? Like,
yeah.
You only see the surface. And so, like, man, I know you'll have conversations with people, or I'll have conversations with people sometimes, and they'll like snap. It's like, whoa, what just happened? And the old me, you know, when I was younger, didn't quite understand all this yet. And not saying that I'm perfect in it, of course, but like the old me would snap back. Like, who do you think you are? Like, but now I've gotten to a point in my life where I'm kind of like, that was out of character. Like, I wonder what's up. I wonder what's going on, you know? And I think that's great.
Yeah.
You know, this whole book is written to Christians that are suffering for being Christians. And I just think, man, like, we are all in this thing together.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so how does this help me love God more? Well, I mean, as an elder, there's some pretty clear stuff here, you know, like caring for the flock God's entrusted to us and not doing so grudgingly, but doing it willingly. And this idea of being honored when Christ returns, when the great shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of never-ending honor. I just think that's cool. Like, it reminds me, and I think there's a lot of pastors out there that get this all the way wrong. And I don't always get it right, but there are a lot of pastors that just get it all the way wrong, where being a pastor to them becomes like a status symbol or an elder, right? Like, like how many churches do you hear about where it's like, well, I'm an elder, you know, like I'm a big deal, you know, when that's exactly the opposite of what we hear in this passage. Like, don't lord it over people. So I just think, like, for me as an elder, you know, an elder, for those of you who don't know, is just another word for pastor. There's no different word in the New Testament. It's just, that's what it means. As an elder, it just is like, man, I can love God by doing this with excellence and doing it for the right reasons. And I think that that can, that principle can carry out to, if you want to love God better, whatever it is that he's put before you, whatever the role that you play in your church or in your family or your community or your friend group or whatever role you play in the kingdom of God that God has put before you, do it with excellence and, you know, do it out of this desire to please God. And don't lord it over people. If you're given authority in the church or if you have responsibilities that other people don't have and it kind of sets you apart, don't lord it over them. You're doing this for God. Approach this with humility, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So I just think that that all kind of ties all the way together in how we should conduct ourselves in our roles.
Yeah. I mean, I see here in five, verse two, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God.
Yep.
You know, when we talk about servant leadership, and it's boom right there.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's all about.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love, like, just the concept of, yes, as elders for sure, but I think everyone can walk away from this and say, do your best at what God has given you to do. Why? Because you're eager to serve him.
Correct.
And yeah. I just think that, man, that could be so transformative to everyone's ministry if we approached it that way.
Correct. Yeah, this could be any area of life, whatever you're leading at to do that in service of God.
Yeah. And, you know, you see that in Joshua. Yeah. You absolutely see that in Joshua. Like, he is eager to serve God, and that's exactly what he does. So, and he does it with excellence. Okay. All right. Well, that's fun.
That was fun.
I'm going to get going. I don't have anything really funny to say. Do you have anything funny to say? You have some wisdom for the people, Josh?
Well, I had to take my Chip and Eric bumper sticker off of my truck.
Okay.
I was a little bit concerned after the comments of Hogla that somebody might get road rage on me.
Yeah.
So I did take that bumper sticker off. Let that cool down for a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. Just got to let it cool off a little bit, I think.
I got another one I'll put on later.
Okay,
I'll give it a few days.
On the front, on the windshield, you'll get like a big Chip and Eric, like, you know, the words across the top of your windshield.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the whole back window. That might work.
Yeah. There you go. That'd be good. Oh, my word. Be so ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, you heard it here first. Chip and Eric scandal based on Hogla. There was a town named something Hogla.
Yes, I tried very hard not to laugh. I think it was Beth Hogla.
Yeah, well, that's her daughter, Hogla Beth.
That might cause some stir.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to leave Hogla alone. Leave Hogla alone. Yes. All right. Well, hashtag justice for Hogla. And, you know, it's really Chip that has a problem with her, not me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I see your Eric Loves Hogla name tag.
Yeah.
So,
see? I don't have an issue.
Yeah. I don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Hogla. Yeah. Actually, just bought half a pig.
Oh.
So there you go. Now I really love Hogla.
I bet. Yeah.
Fresh bacon.
Yeah. Gotta love fresh bacon.
Yeah. Hogla. That's what I'm saying. All right, guys, we're out of here. Thank you, Josh. It's always a pleasure to read with you. Guys, give Josh some love when you see him, and we will catch you guys next time.